You're listening to the News Project Podcast for the week of July 19th, 2021, brought to you by GNET TV. This podcast brings you these stories. Village to study land use, connectivity. Blues Times arrives at Southern Vermont Art Center.
Planning officials at Manchester Village are embarking on a study of two sites in the village, along with a look at traffic patterns, parking, and key intersections in the center of Manchester's birthplace. The study, which is funded through a municipal planning grant from the state's Agency of Commerce and Community Development, will identify possible ways to repurpose two underused historic sites in the village center, as well as potential improvements for its central intersection. The Bennington County Regional Commission is working with the village planners as a consultant on the project. Specifically, the study will explore what are the possible uses for the former county courthouse at the corner of Union and Main Streets, which currently houses the village's municipal offices, but is owned by the town of Manchester. Another site is the recently demolished Music Hall, which is currently owned by the Equinox Resort. And if both sites are redeveloped for other uses eventually, how does that affect parking and traffic flow through these main arteries? The study will also take a look at the nearby intersection of Main Street, West Road, and Seminary Avenue to see if there are possible improvements that could be made there. Biking and pedestrian infrastructure will also be explored. An initial public meeting was held on July 14th where the scope of the study was described by Catherine Breyers and Mark Anders of the Regional Commission. We had a chance to talk with Audrey Koloff, the chairwoman of the Village Planning Commission, and Richard Heilman, the Commission's vice chairman, along with Mark Anders, a planner with the county's Regional Commission, who explained more about what was underway. Vice Chairman Heilman described what got the idea for the study started.
I think it is something that's been coming along for a long time, but we do have the Opera House being torn down, which leaves an open space that can be repurposed in some way. We have the courthouse that is still up in the air of what the town wants to do with it. The village really doesn't have any much control over it other than restricting zoning kinds of things. But that is an issue. Burr and Burton, with its ever-increasing busyness and traffic, I think has created a lot of concerns by some of the residents along that area and the intersection by the old library and where Seminary Avenue come in being an issue. So we were looking at a time when if we were able to do some long-range planning, it was a way of looking at this core portion of the village and trying to think of what would be an ideal scenario if we could move ahead with something that would help with traffic, pedestrian traffic, bicycles, and the use of those public places without being a burden on the village in terms of parking and traffic issues.
Chairwoman Koloff described some of the factors in play concerning the two sites in the center of the village.
Yeah, no, it hasn't really been our purview. That's the committee headed up in the town, and I know they've been talking about a lot of different possibilities. I think it makes sense to keep a place for the village to have meetings there, public access and such. It is right in the center of town. So if in their plans they're able to maintain that, I think that would be a really good thing. But really it comes down to whatever the purpose of the building becomes, parking has to be one of the main aspects and things that we need to resolve. And that became just so entirely clear in our meeting last week. Mark presented such a great overview of all the different parcels and access and parking for the group to look at. It just made it so plain and clear that regardless of what we would like to see, parking is a major concern and a consideration that would have to be either negotiated with the Equinox Hotel somehow in this discussion to see what can be, because it's really out of our hands, really.
Both stressed they were starting the study with no preconceived ideas on what to do at the Main Street, West Road, and Seminary Avenue intersection.
My feeling at this point is, you know, this is a planning study. And, you know, I think it's a little premature to be trying to jump to solutions before we actually do the study.
Yeah, and I had received a communication from one resident who was arguing about, you know, you shouldn't be planning to put in a rotary or a roundabout. And, you know, the answer is exactly as Rich said, this is a study. This is a municipal planning grant study. No, there aren't going to be decisions that come out of it. There will be options presented.
Mark Andrews of the BCRC also spoke to the issue of biking through the village.
We're going to certainly look at it. You know, I haven't, we're going to look at the how wide the right-of-way is and, you know, sketch out a couple of options. You know, there's always a way to make it better to bike if, you know, if there's enough of a commitment to it. It can be expensive and, you know, the village is such a beautiful place. We don't want to do anything that, you know, harms that. But, you know, the fact is, not a lot of people bike between the village center and downtown Manchester, even though it's a very bikeable distance. I think probably because it's not that comfortable. You know, I've biked it myself. And as you said, it's very narrow. You always feel like you're in the way. And there are a lot of really great new designs that are now approved for use in the United States, things like cycle tracks. So, you know, we can present those as ways to improve cycling. The more we make cycling an attractive and inviting alternative, the more people will do it. And of course, you know, somebody on a bike, whenever they substitute a car trip for a bike trip, that's good. You know, and I'm also thinking about the school. A lot of traffic is kids getting picked up and dropped off. So if, you know, we can convert any of those trips to kids biking themselves to school, that's great.
A survey for village residents, as well as anyone else who might wish to weigh in, can be found on the BCRC's website at www.bcrcvt.org/Manchester Village Study. The planners are hoping to get as much feedback as possible from the public to help steer the study. A public meeting in December will be the next major milestone. The information will eventually be gathered into a draft report, which will be presented early next year, with a final report hopefully finished by March of 2022. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. A blues festival will be coming to the Arkell Pavilion at the Southern Vermont Arts Center on Saturday, August 7th, part of the gradual return of live concert music to area venues. The festival, which will feature four different blues bands bringing their distinctive performing styles to the stage, was originally planned for last year, but of course had to be canceled owing to the COVID-19 pandemic. But that was then, and this is now. So fans of this American genre of music, which saw its birth in the Mississippi Delta, will be able to soak it in over an afternoon in the Green Mountains of Vermont. The concert kicks off at 12 noon with the Alexis P. Suter Band, followed by the Bruce Katz Band at 1:30. They'll be followed by the James Armstrong Band at 3 p.m., with the Johnny Rawls Band coming on stage at 4:30 to provide the finale. SVAC presents the blues, as the festival is known, is being co-organized by Paul Benjamin, the founder and organizer of the North Atlantic Blues Festival, the largest of its kind on the East Coast, and we had a chance to hear from him about this festival, the first of its kind at SVAC, and what we might expect.
Contacted by them asking me about doing a festival, so I went up back in, I'm going to guess, 2019. I met with them. I drove up from Maine and met with them and walked over the campus and looked at everything and thought it was a great idea. Don Wilcock had put them together with me. I've been doing festivals for a long time. So went up there, looked at the facility, and we decided to do the first festival up there. And then, of course, COVID hit in 2020 and we had to cancel. We were very fortunate to be able to do it in 21, and we were able to book all the same bands that we used in 2020. So they were happy with the lineup for 2020. So we decided let's use the same artist. And a lot of festivals did that around the country this past year. So I've been doing this for a long, long time. And I was looking at different styles of blues that we could hit to, appeal to a wider audience than just if you're a guitar lover, you just want to hit a guitar blues. But I kind of like to mix it up to try to bring in different styles of blues. And that was the goal. I mean, yes, I have worked with every one of these bands in the past over the years, and all these bands have played on different festivals that I do around the country. I think the magic of the music is blues is everyday life. I think everybody does think of the blues as sad and lonesome, and you lost something you need to replace, but there's a lot of happy blues. So I think blues is everyday life, and I think blues, you feel the music. And I think it moves you in certain ways for certain people, and I just think people gravitate to that feeling of, what is the blues? And to me, when I get asked that question numerous times, it's life. It's everyday life. That's what the blues is. There's great days, there's bad days, and there's days in between. And the blues fits all that genres. And the blues artists are so down to earth. They really appreciate their fans. I mean, they will stop, they'll sign CDs after. They'll take pictures and post the pictures and sign the program, and just happy to have their fans enjoying them as much as they enjoy the fans. So that camaraderie is, it's really cool how it all links together, and they just enjoy each other.
Tickets are on sale now through the SVAC website at www.svac.org/class/the blues/. The box office opens on August 7th at 11 a.m., and general admission tickets will be $40 at the gate on the day of the performance. So if you're a fan of the blues, which involves way more than wailing guitars pulling down mournful notes, it's time to mark your calendars as one more piece of post-pandemic normality gets restored. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever.
Thanks for listening local. For more local content, visit GNAT.tv.